So this isn't going to be the there's no fancy TV today. I didn't have enough time to put it. So you're going to have to flip through your own Bibles on your own. No cheat sheet in the front. So if you will, please, let's open our Bibles to Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25. And I do have a title for the message, though. It's called The Tabernacle, the Temple, and You. So that's going to be our title.
Just the date also.
Today.
Today's date
is May 28th. Today's May 28th, 2023.
There you go.
So Exodus 25. We're going to start, we're going to look at verses 8 and 9. You're going to be flipping today. I got a lot of scripture to go through. So Exodus 25, 8 and 9. And let them, Israel, make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof. Even so shall ye make it. Go down to verse 40. And look that thou make them, the tent, the tabernacle, all these instruments, you make them after their pattern which was showed thee in the mount. So we're talking about that time when Moses went up to Mount Sinai and God gave him the law, but he also gave him a pattern for this tabernacle, this tent. And we all know, we've all seen it, there was a specific pattern or a blueprint that God gave the nation of Israel for this. And this is what we're going to be looking at. Now please go to Exodus chapter 35. When you look at the tabernacle and the volume of the chapters that are committed to the instruments and the tapestries and everything, that's usually that portion of the scriptures when you're reading and you're like, oh, you know, because of the details. But those details are important. Okay, now let's Exodus 35. We'll start in verse 4. And Moses spoke unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take you from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass and blue, purple, scarlet, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skins, dyed red, badger skins, shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense, and onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate. So this pattern that Moses is showing them, he gives them an opportunity to be a part of this. Okay, so he says, those of a willing heart, right? Verse 5. I want your offering, but I want it to come from a willing heart, right? I've got this pattern that I'm looking to make, and I want you to have a part in it. Here's your opportunity to have a part in what I'm building, what I'm making here. Go to verse 10. And every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord hath commanded. The tabernacle, the tent, his covering, the tatches, the boards, the bars, the pillars, the sockets, the ark, the staves, the mercy seat, the veil of the covering, the table, his staves, all of his vessels, and the showbread, the candlestick also for the light, and its furniture, and the lamps, and the oil for the light, and the incense altar, his staves, and the anointing oil, and the sweet incense, and the hanging for the door at the entering in of the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering with its brazen gate, the staves and all those vessels, and the laver and the foot, the hangings of the court, the pillars, their sockets, and the hanging for the door of the court, the pins of the tabernacle, the pins of the court and their cords, even the clothes, right, of service, to do service in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest and the garments of his sons to minister in the priest's office. This blueprint, this pattern was intricate. I mean, like crazy intricate. Now, drop down to verses, let's see. We'll keep going. So all the congregation of the children of Israel, verse 20, departed from the presence of Moses, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for all the holy garments. So the Lord offers them an opportunity to be a part of what he's doing, building this tabernacle. And those of a willing heart, that they're happy to do it, right? They want to be a part. They might not be the seamster, right? But maybe they have access to the thread. So everyone's getting involved and everyone's giving and having part in what the Lord is doing here with the tabernacle. But it was those who had a heart that was stirred up with the fact that their God wanted them to make a tent that he may dwell among them. I mean, how exciting that must have been for that nation that got that watched their God bring them with a high hand out of bondage. And now he says, I want you to make me somewhere I can dwell with you. It excited them, right? Just like things should excite us, right? So they came, verse 22, as many as were willing hearted, right? They brought everything they had. They offered it. Let's drop down to verse 30. So Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord has called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, and to devise the curious works, to work in gold and silver and brass, and the cutting of stones, and to set them, and in the carving of wood, to make any manner of cunning work. And he hath put in his heart also that he may teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahishmach of the tribe of Dan. Them he hath filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work of the engraver and of the cunning workman and of the embroiderer in blue, purple, scarlet, fine linen, and the weaver, even of them that do any work, and especially of those that devise the cunning work. Because some of these things that he asked in this pattern, there weren't too many people on the planet Earth that understood how to work these things and how to make these things according to the pattern that God went for. If you look and see some of the intricate detail that was in these carvings and stuff. When God asks someone to do something, right? He not only invites you to be a part of it, but he also provides the wisdom, understanding, and knowledge in order to get the work done. And that's what we're seeing here with this tabernacle. He gave them the pattern. And then there were some things that were very hard to do, so he also gave some people to help and gave them the understanding on how do we cut this stone and make a mold so we can pour this gold in there and do these intricate details. Some of these candlesticks were mind-blowing, right? So God gave Moses the pattern or the blueprint for this tabernacle, okay? And every instrument used in it. Also offered people an opportunity to be a part of it. And for the hard things, he gave some people some special wisdom, knowledge, and understanding so that they could help, and also gave them that heart to pass that knowledge on, right? We just read in verse 34, he hath put in his heart that he may also teach, right? In the trades, if you know how to do something real well, you try to teach that to the next generation, right? Even cooking, that seems to be lost. There are recipes that are gone to the smoke of time because no one passed along that pattern for that recipe, right? Maz goulash or whatever it is. So that pattern, so there was nothing missing in this pattern. No detail overlooked, right? And I mean, that's pretty awesome, okay? So now let's look at Solomon's temple. Let's fast forward. Let's go to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. We're going to be looking at verses 10, 11, and 12. 1 Chronicles 28. We'll start in verse 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, so this is David talking to Solomon, his son, know thou that the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. If you will seek him, he will be found of thee. But if you forsake him, well, he's going to cast you off forever. So take heed now, for the Lord has chosen you to build an house for the sanctuary. So be strong and do it. Then David gave to Solomon, his son, the pattern of the porch, and of the houses thereof, and of the treasuries thereof, and of the upper chambers thereof, and of the inner parlors thereof, and of the place of the mercy seat, and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord, and all the chambers round about, of the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries of all those dedicated things. So we're looking at that same thing, right? David is giving Solomon a pattern for this house that God wants to dwell in. Because now they're not in the wilderness anymore, right? He wants a place in that city, in that land, okay? Drop down to verse 18. And for the altar, we could have spent all the time and gone through all the instruments. We're talking about the flesh hooks, the altars, all those things that were in the temple. But we're just going to fast forward down to verse 19. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. So who gave David the blueprints? God gave David the blueprints. He said, by his hand that was upon me, he gave me this in writing. He gave me these blueprints, and now Solomon, I'm giving them to you, because we know that the Lord said, no, David, you've been a man of war. There's too much blood on your hands. I don't want you building my house, but your son Solomon is going to build it, okay? So he said, he made me understand in writing by his hand upon me even all the works of this pattern. And David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with you for all the service of the house of God. And there shall be with you for all manner of workmanship every willing, skillful man for any manner of service. Also the princes and all the people will be wholly at your command. So it's the same thing, right? Same thing with the tabernacle. God gave Moses the blueprint for the tabernacle. God gave David the blueprint for the pattern of the temple, right? Provides an opportunity for people to be a part of it, and also provides workers. And he says, don't be afraid. I'm going to supply everything that you need to do what I'm asking you to do. Okay? So, there, once again, there's a complete pattern, right? A complete blueprint for the temple, and everything that is needed for it. There's not a single candlestick missing, and not a single detail overlooked. Now these are wonderful truths, right? Well, let me ask you, right now there is no tabernacle, right? And there is no temple. Or is there? Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Right? When we look back and we think about the tabernacle in the wilderness, when that thing was finally completed, what happened to it? It says the glory of the Lord filled that tabernacle, right? The smoke came down and the fire, and the glory of the Lord filled that thing, filled it so much that no one could even get in there because it was full. Same thing happened with Solomon's temple, right? Once it was finally done and all dedicated, what happened in the sight of all of Israel? The glory of the Lord filled that temple, filled it full, so much so that the priests, we can't even go in there. It's so full, okay? So 1 Corinthians 13, 6, because there's no more tabernacle and there's no more temple. Today it's you and I, okay? You are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God, it dwells in you. It dwells in each believer today. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, a couple pages over, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Somebody want to read that one? 1 Corinthians 6, 19. Loud and proud.
What? No, ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own?
Say, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are now the Lord's. He says, what? You don't know this? There's many people that don't know this, right? They've made their own tabernacles and their own little temples because they don't understand that today it's you and I, it's the believer. It's the Spirit-filled believer. That's who it is. And we were purchased with the price. And what was that price? The precious shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ purchased us, right? So what about 2 Corinthians chapter 5? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, I'll read verses 1 through 4. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, right? That tabernacle, that tent that's talking about here is our bodies, right? We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, it's eternal in the heavens. For in this tent, in this tabernacle, we groan, right? We got aches and pains and problems. And we're earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven, that new glorified body. If so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, and that mortality might be swallowed up of life. We are the temple, right? We are the tabernacle for today. How about Ephesians chapter 2? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. In whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for the habitation of God through the Spirit. Wow. We are the temple. We are the tabernacle, right? It's us. Those verses make it very clear. So if we are the temple and we are the tabernacle, where is the pattern? Right? He gave Moses a pattern for the tabernacle, and he gave him a pattern to be followed for the temple. So if we're the temple and we're the tabernacle, where's the pattern? Right? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. Howbeit, for this cause I, Paul, obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Folks, we have a pattern that God has given to the Apostle Paul. And we're going to look at some verses here to explain that. Because God doesn't build something or start something without giving a complete blueprint, providing everything that's needed, and giving opportunity to do what needs to get done, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10, Paul says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, right? God gave me this wonderful pattern and this blueprint. He says, and I laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. That's you and I, right? We build upon that foundation, that pattern that Paul laid. And we bring the material that is found in the Pauline revelation, right? To continue building this body of Christ. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. Better make sure you're following the right pattern and using the right material. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Right? Christ is the foundation. He's the foundation of all truth to the nation of Israel and to us today, the body of Christ. He is the foundation of all truth, but there's two different patterns. Okay? That's what we're going to continue to look at. The Apostle Paul was given by God the pattern for the dispensation of grace in which we live. So in all of Paul's epistles, we find everything we need from the pattern of salvation to sanctification to service. And there is no detail overlooked and there is nothing left out. And as we continue, I pray you're going to see these things clearer and clearer. So let's continue to look at the pattern that the risen and glorified Lord Jesus Christ gave to the Apostle Paul. For he is, after all, the apostle of us Gentiles, is he not? Romans 11:13 says, for I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. Not to the Gentiles, I am the apostle of the Gentiles. In fact, I magnify mine office, he says. This wonderful pattern that God gave me, he says, I magnify that. Not myself, I magnify this wonderful blueprint that God has given me. Romans 15, right? I magnify my office. Really, notice how the Holy Spirit doesn't say we. Right? Are the apostles. The Holy Spirit says Paul is the apostle. Right? I speak to you Gentiles in as much as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, not we. I. Important things to notice as we're going. Romans 15:16. Paul says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Once again, notice who is the minister to us Gentiles, right? It's not we, the 12. It's Paul. This pattern that God gave Paul, this is what he's out there doing. Romans 16:25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, according to this pattern, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, which is according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Again, it's my gospel, my pattern, not our gospel. There's more than one gospel in the Bible, folks. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of good news in the Bible. But they all center on who? Christ is the center of all good news. There is no good news outside of Christ. But there's different patterns to be followed, right? When they were following the pattern for the temple, they couldn't use the pattern from the tabernacle, right? And when we're using the pattern for today's temple, the body of Christ, which is you and I, we can't be using anything from that old pattern. Okay? So let's continue, right? First Corinthians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. He says, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Folks, there's 10,000 instructors in Christ out there when you look around at the world, right? But what's the problem? Is that they're making their own pattern. Okay? That's why there's different names to them, right? Because they're all making their own pattern. That's the problem. And according to Acts 17:24, God dwells not in temples made with hands. Right? But man, there's all these people out there, and they're making their own pattern for the believer's salvation, for their sanctification, for their service. They're just making their own pattern up with their own hands. They're picking and choosing things from this, a little from this pattern, a little from this pattern, and we got to take a little from Paul's pattern, because you can't even get saved outside of Paul's gospel. That's Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again for our justification. So we got to take a little bit from Paul's pattern. And with their own hands, they're making it together. And here's the pattern that I'm going to present to the congregants of my church. God can't dwell in that temple, because that's not the right pattern. His glory can't fill that, right? When it's done according to the pattern, what happens? We read it, the tabernacle and the temple. The glory of the Lord filled it when it was done according to the pattern. Moses, before they put that whole thing together, it says Moses looked and made sure that everything that was built was after the pattern before they stuck it all together. These are important things, okay? So, wherefore I beseech you, the rest of that verse, 2 Corinthians, right? Wherefore I beg you, be you followers of me. Be you followers of the pattern that I have been given, the pattern that I'm laying out, right? Do you see the pattern emerging here? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, Paul says, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? You know what? Are not you my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal, the proof of mine apostleship, are you in the Lord. There's many people out there that refuse to acknowledge that Paul is the apostle for today. They just refuse it. And he said, that's okay. You guys are my seal. Because you know what pattern you're supposed to be following. So you are my proof that my apostleship is real. Right? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. So be you followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. This pattern that God gave me is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other pattern in the scripture that glorifies and exalts the finished work of Jesus Christ more than the gospel of the grace of God. This pattern is the Everest of truth and glorification for our Savior. No other pattern glorifies them more than this. Because some of those patterns, what were they doing? They were pointing to something, right? There was a picture in those patterns back there. But that's for another study for on your own. We're looking at the pattern, because the pattern needs to be followed. So, 1 Corinthians 11:1-2, so be you followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. And now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them unto you. Keep this pattern that I delivered unto you. 1 Corinthians 14:37-38, he says, and if any man among you think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the very commandments of the risen and glorified Lord Jesus Christ. And if any man be ignorant, you let him be ignorant. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory, for I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. He got a continued revelation. When we think about, I think about Moses. Remember when God gave Moses the law? And things were starting to come up that they didn't know how to interpret and how to deal with the law. That, hey, we found this guy picking up sticks on the Sabbath, right? And he went to the Lord and asked the Lord, hey, what do we do here? Same thing happened when God was unfolding this pattern and building this building. If things came up, God revealed to Paul which way to go. God revealed things to Paul throughout his ministry, right? Appeared to him. when there were rough times that came up, and maybe some situations where he's like, "Well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here." I believe that's what he's talking about here. Galatians 1:1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. He says, nobody made me an apostle, right? God made me an apostle. I was on the road to Damascus persecuting the Jewish believers. He saw something and did something to me on the road to Damascus, okay? And that's going to come up too. Galatians 1:11 and 12, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me, this pattern that I'm presenting here, is not after man. This is not from some man's head thought all these things up. For I didn't receive it of men, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He gave me this pattern, just like Moses was given a pattern, just like David was given a pattern. Galatians 1:15 through 20. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I did not confer with flesh and blood. I didn't go up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, neither went I into Arabia, and I returned. I went into Arabia and I returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and I abode with him 15 days. But other the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. When he separated Paul from his mother's womb, that's not talking about when he was born. Okay? That mother's womb was that religious system that he was in. The comfort of that, of his, that made up Jewish religion. Okay? Because they corrupted God's holy law. They corrupted. So he's talking about, you separated me from that comfort zone I was in. I believe that has to do with 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 8 when he says, I was one born out of due time. Okay, I think those two connect there. That's just a little tidbit on the side, because that's the Greek word ektroma. It's where we get the word abort. He was aborted from that prophetic pattern that was moving swiftly towards that tribulation period, okay? So, when did God separate him from that? On the road to Damascus, right? Called him by his grace. Called him by this brand new pattern. Because he says, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. So we know this is not talking about his birth. Okay? Because the minute that he was knocked off that horse, immediately he knew. Whoa. And he was given something different. It says, now the things that I write unto you, behold, before God, I'm not lying about these things. You know, you see the pattern? You see the pattern forming here? Galatians 2:1-2. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and I communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. But I did it privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. So he went up there, the Lord told him, all right, it's time. You go up there and you explain to them exactly what I'm doing with you. Okay? Remember, we had that group of believers. They sold everything that they had and had all things common. They were waiting for that kingdom. 14 years later, I'm probably wondering what's going on, Lord. I sold everything and we're being persecuted. Where's this kingdom? So God sent Paul finally up there to go tell him what was going on. In verse 7 through 9 of Galatians 2, it says, but contrarywise, right? He didn't go there for them to add anything to him. It says, contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, this pattern was committed unto me, just like the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision to the Jews, to the nation of Israel, was the same mighty toward me and the Gentiles in this new wonderful grace pattern for the body of Christ. For he that wrought effectually in Peter did the same thing with me. And when James, Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. So even Peter, James, and John acknowledged Paul's apostleship and the pattern that God gave Paul. Those, we call those the three heavy hitters, right? Those are those 10,000 instructors in Christ that are trying to make their own pattern. Even these three, who seem to be pillars, agreed. Yeah, God gave you something different. So you continue. And we're going to go back and we're going to go explain to these believers what's going on and how that prophetic pattern has been put on hold, right? So Ephesians 3, 1 through 4. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it has now been revealed, right? There's a pattern here that God wants everyone to see. We're supposed to make everyone see it. That's the rest of it. That's down in chapter, in verse 9, right? We are to make all men see what is the fellowship of this wonderful pattern. Because he's inviting us to be a part, just like he gave them an opportunity to be a part of it. And he wants other believers to see this fellowship that we can have together, helping build this body of Christ that Christ is building today. That temple is us, right? It's you personally and the body of Christ corporately, because we're all members one of another, okay? So can you see the pattern forming yet? Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17, he says, brethren, be followers together of me and mark those which walk. So you have us for an ensample. We want to be following around other people that are following the same pattern. It makes things so much easier if we're all following the same pattern. You can't take your jigsaw puzzle and go to another person's jigsaw puzzle. That picture's going to look ugly, right? And then pieces ain't going to fit unless you force them in there and do some trimming, which I've done before. Make a little trim, make a little cut to make it work in that piece that's missing from the puzzle. So these verses are to help you see the pattern that the Holy Spirit and the risen and glorified Lord Jesus Christ has revealed through the Apostle Paul to us, the body of Christ. Can you see the pattern? I pray you do, because if our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, wants us to see it, then it must be important. And he wants us to see it. It's important. So let's look at a few more verses from the Holy Spirit in case people still can't see that pattern. For some reason, Satan has blinded people to this pattern. And it's overwhelmingly obvious if you just dig a little bit. So Romans chapter 2, verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, my pattern, right? The body of Christ is us individually. One day, our work that we've done, the building materials that we've used, the pattern that we followed is going to be inspected. And it's going to be according to my gospel, Paul says, according to my pattern. It's going to have to fit in this jig. That's what's going to happen. That's called the bema seat of Christ. And anything that's outside that jig, it's going to just vaporize away. It's going to count for nothing, right? You yourself are saved, but there's going to be an importance to following this pattern because it's going to have to fit in that jig. Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verses 11 through 13, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of this pattern. Are you? For I know whom I have believed, right? And we're persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So hold fast this form of sound words which you have heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Who is the preacher and teacher of us Gentiles? It's the Apostle Paul. That form of sound words is this pattern of salvation, sanctification, service, the dispensation of grace, the fellowship of the mystery, all the facets of the mystery. That's the sound words. That's the pattern. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same pattern commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Right? Remember that first pattern we looked at back in Exodus chapter 35, right? Just like those two men that he named were filled with the Spirit of God and wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and in all manner of how to get the work done. Colossians 1:9 says he wants you to be filled with the knowledge of all. He wants you to be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. He has given that to every believer, and he wants you to be filled with it. And he wants you to take this and pass it along to people, right? He put it in that guy's, it was in that guy's heart back in Exodus. Hey, I got to teach this to the next guy. I got to teach this to my son. I got to teach this to my daughter. I got to teach this to my wife. I want this opportunity to continue, right? Same pattern. A pattern needs to be followed. So the pattern that the risen and glorified Lord Jesus Christ that gave to Paul is to be committed to other faithful men who will have that heart to pass it on and teach others also, right? This pattern is to be repeated in each of our lives. From the Lord Jesus Christ to the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul gives it to us, the body of Christ. Now we're to take it, and everything that we're doing needs to be following this pattern. This pattern, not these other patterns, this pattern. Because it's going to make a difference in eternity. So, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 7 through 9. So consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding in all these things. And remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, my pattern, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer. The nation of Israel chased that man everywhere he went and tried to kill him. He says, I suffer trouble because I'm presenting this new pattern of Christ being raised from the dead, not just for the nation of Israel, but for everybody. Jew and Gentile alike, it makes no difference today, right? It's not about works, it's not about the law, it's about you placing your personal faith in the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ, in his death, burial, and resurrection. That's what saves people today. That's the pattern of salvation for today. And there's so many out there that don't understand that. It's not about us, it's about him, right? This pattern is Christ. It's all about him. It's his finished work that we're counting on, not us. Oscar was going over earlier, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He doesn't ask us to clean up first and come. He says, come as you are. Because I'm going to give you a brand new pattern. I'm going to give you a brand new life. I'm going to make you part of a brand new thing I'm creating. It's called the body of Christ. And I'm going to fill you with my glory. I want to fill you with my glory. But I need you to do things according to this pattern so I can. Right? I mean, that's a bold statement the Holy Spirit makes about the resurrection. That it's according to Paul's pattern, right? Paul's gospel. Whew. And the gospel, the grace of God, that God gave to Paul. Now, 2 Timothy 3:10 and 12, but you have fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my patience, the persecutions and afflictions which came unto me from at Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, everywhere he went. But the Lord delivered me out of them all. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus are going to suffer persecution. What an honor to suffer persecution for the Lord Jesus Christ. It is an honor to do that for him. It's the least we can do, right? And when you start following this pattern, you are going to suffer. Because people are going to ridicule you, and they're going to tell you you're in some kind of a cult, that Paul is not the apostle for today. Oh, you're putting Paul on a pedestal and putting him above. No, no. We rejoice and exalt in the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And we follow things after the pattern that he gave Paul. Paul didn't make up this pattern. Just like Moses didn't just make up the pattern for the tabernacle. Just like Solomon, he didn't just make up the blueprint for the temple. This is a blueprint given by God himself, the true and living God, and it needs to be followed. Titus 1:3. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in the guaranteed expectation of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised us before the world began, but has in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. So I want you to ask yourself, am I following the pattern? Is the spiritual leader I'm listening to, is he following that pattern? You see, because following the pattern is a commandment from God our Savior. It's a commandment, right? Everything that we do in our lives wants to be fitted to this pattern. God wants every area of our lives to be fitted to this pattern so that he can fill you and glorify himself in you, right? We want to shine for his glory and honor. He purchased us, right, with his shed blood. That means he owns all of you. He owns all of it. I think one of the problems that Solomon, because there seems to be a blind spot. He purchased us. We are now members of his body, and we are to be doing things after this pattern. You know what tripped up Solomon? Can you think? Because Solomon not only built the temple, you know what? He started building some other houses. And they weren't according to that pattern, right? So let's think about us and our lives. If the Lord Jesus Christ went to our Facebook page or our Instagram or our Snapchat, did we construct those houses according to this pattern? If we haven't, maybe it's time to go in and relay the foundation. Because God wants to glorify every aspect of our lives. We need to shine for his honor and glory's sake. And if we're going to make those things separate extensions of your body, you want to make it according to this pattern. So that we can start growing and sharing this message so people can see there's something different about you. He wants to fill that Facebook page with his glory. He wants to fill you with his glory. He wants you to fill your house, your home, at home, your relationship with your wife. He wants to fill those things with his glory. But we need to follow the pattern. And if we don't follow the pattern, you can't get in there and fill it. We can't say, you're not allowed to fill this area of my temple. I don't want you over here on my... This is a separate building. That's what Solomon did, right? He built them separate buildings, and that's what got him into trouble later on in life, right? Those friends of ours, those family members of ours, I want them to see Christ when they look at me and when they look at every... If you Google my name, I want Christ to come up. That's what I want to come up. I want people to know that my life is patterned after this pattern of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the goal. That's the purpose. That's the pattern. That's the reason for it. Heavenly Father, we can't thank you enough for the wonderful pattern that you have given us, and that it's to be followed, it's to be duplicated, and it is for the purpose of you being able to fill it with your glory, just like the tabernacle in the wilderness, when that was completed according to the pattern, your glory filled it. When the temple was built, Solomon, and that was completed, and it was according to the pattern, your glory filled it. Today it's you and I, Lord. Today it's us. It's members of the body of Christ. We want to make our lives according to the pattern that you gave to the Apostle Paul in salvation, sanctification, and service, so that your glory can fill it and other people can see it. So just help us to do that, Lord. We each need help. None of us are perfect. We're thankful, though, that you not only began a good work in us, but you'll continue it all the way until that day you come and redeem us. So we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you most of all for that wonderful gospel of grace, and that's the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we would simply place our faith in that finished work, you give us your very spirit and make us your house so that you may dwell in it. We just thank you for all these things in the Savior's name and with his authority. Amen.
We're going to have a celebration of somebody.